Blog Talk Radio.
Not one, not two, not three, but four quarters with Coach Lee each and every month. Each and every Monday night here on Blog Talk Radio. Continue, that is. But yeah, that's me. I reach out to you. This is Coach Lee, your host with the most. I'm coming to you live. I'm coming to you real live. So if you want to call in today, please feel free to dial in 347-826-7278. Again, 347-826-7278. And my super duper producer, BJ, would definitely hook you up. But you got to push one and then the pound button. I said one and the pound button. And she'll drop you in. It don't matter what topic I'm talking about. You can be talking about the topic, a topic, a topic, some topic. It don't matter because you're rocking four quarters, Coach Lee. I'm flexible like that. Let's see. Let's go ahead and drop a little science with our sponsors. We got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. Why? Hey, because they're supporting this show. Why? Because they're supporting football. Who else we got? We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football equipment company of the Women's Tackle Football Camp, the Women's Football Camp and Conference that happens each and every year. Again, is where the good get better. And for those who don't know, we are going to do four camps in 2012. We're going to do four camps in 2012. So there is no excuse why you can't get your football on because the football camp will be going in four different cities, four different locations on four different weekends. Who am I missing? Oh, we got 22nd Fitness, where you get fit real fast. You know, 22nd Fitness is a definitely proud sponsor of this football show as well as the Las Vegas Showgirls. So, again, if you need to get your workout on, then you need to get it in 20 seconds, that is. You can go to 20seconds.com. Again, that's 20seconds.com and find more information about that. Who else? Where am I at? Oh, we got Enterprise. Why do you pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. Woo, I guess my list of sponsors are getting a little bit longer. You know, hey, I must be becoming a little bit more popular in the show. People are starting to recognize. They just know I love to talk. You know, I love to talk. We love to talk. We all love to talk. Uh-oh, I got an echo there. But anyway, I am coming to you live this Monday. It's the Monday after the Super Bowl. We might even talk about a little bit of that in tonight's topics. But quarter number one, we got start times. Why do football teams have to start at 7 p.m.? We got quarter number two, coaching opportunities. What kind of opportunities are there for those who coach women's football? Topic number three, again, it was a hot topic on the Ning board, new teams not getting the chance to play, the good, the bad, the ugly, and why we go about that. And then, like I said, I'm open to any conversations, any calls, any questions for quarter number four, which is the last 15 minutes of the show. But, again, you can call in anytime that you want. If you want to talk on a subject, start a subject, or, hey, talk about another subject in the past, or you have a question of Coach Lee, hey, that's what I'm here for. All right, let's go ahead and start this like we always do. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick, out the end zone type of kick. Why is it so deep? Because that's what we talk about here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. A women's football, that is. But anyway, let's go ahead and move forward. Quarter number one. Quarter number one. We got start times. Again, a lot of people, you know, really look up to the show for questions, ideas, and concepts. And for those who don't know, I'm on the Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com board. That, again, the women is Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com board. It is the number one informational board for women's football. We are over 2,133 members as of today. Which is great. This will be our, well, we're 2.5 years into this with the Ning board. A lot of great information on that board. And, again, it's an opportunity to pose questions. And, again, I'll talk about it, their topics and subjects. But one topic that came about, again, is why must games start at 7 p.m., women's football games, on a Saturday? But let me actually get into the actual question, because it wasn't just posed. Where is that? I know it's here. Come on, Mr. Lee. Coach Lee, where you at? Oh, shuckins. I think it's on the second page. Oh, bear with me, folks. Bear with me. Yeah, but the bottom line is, the question came about as, why do teams start their games at 7 o'clock, or why do the leagues have their games start at 7 o'clock? What's the benefits of it? It's not like their TV time or anything else. And I just think it was a standard time for the teams who for the league. I think it was good to have the game start on a Saturday evening. I think it'd be great family entertainment, you know, 7 p.m. and which is good, you know. But in some markets, it's not good to start at 7 o'clock, because now you're tapping into some fan base that might want to go to the movies, that might want to go to other events, be it concerts or social events. And sometimes, you know, a 7 p.m. start. Yeah. Yeah, you can get two more balls, but they're going to be the other balls. All right, yeah, ask Pearl. Pearl has my keys. Pearl is a young lady that's coaching the other basketball team on your court with the long hair. All right, so here was actually the question. Has anyone researched or have opinions on starting times for games? And basically, this is the question. Wanted to try to open this discussion as I'm trying to work out early start times with as many of my home opponents as possible this season. And this is from Mary Lee Butler. I'm trying to schedule my home games at 4 p.m., primarily because I reached an agreement with my stadium before moving into the WFA. But also wanted to share some observations and try to collect a few more ideas. Not sure where the 7 p.m. start time for women's football originated 9 years ago. I just accepted it as the best opinion or best option when we were part of the NWFA. Last season, though, we played our four home games at 4 p.m., and the results were pretty amazing. My first attendance doubled. My first attendance doubled. Did you hear what I said? Doubled at game time. Not only did my ticket sales increase significantly, but I also sold more merchandise, and my concession stands actually tripled. I took in enough revenue from my opener, home opener, to pay for the next two games. The feedback from the fans were very encouraging. They said that they can enjoy the late afternoon games. It allowed them to support our team and to catch another event on a Saturday night. Many also said that they were also more comfortable bringing their kids to an earlier game. And not that I'm happy about this, but this significantly change occurred despite my team not posting a winning record in 6 out of 8 seasons. So I'm not quite sure what team she's with. But anyway, in the spring, summer especially, there are tons of events on Saturday nights. Playing earlier not only eliminated the competition we had with other events, but allowed us to piggyback off a few. We worked out deals with our minor league baseball teams and our men's indoor football teams to allow our fans to use our game ticket stubs to attend their games for free. We were able to cross-promote and return the same deal to their fans when they have Friday night or Saturday and Sunday games. Since we started at 4 p.m., by halftime, fans were swarming to the concession stands for food. It was dinner time, and actually I ran out of food at the end of halftime in my home opener. We also found that television stations and newspapers love the earlier start. We end up on all three local sports broadcasting stations because our games were finished in time for the 11 p.m. news. We had more coverage in one season than we had in the previous 5 or 6 seasons combined. The newspaper not only ran our stories and stats, but the earlier start allowed them to send out photographers as well. So again, I mean, some great insight here. That's why I love the Ning Board. At first, my players resisted the change. They wanted to be prime time, under the lights. But when they found out that they were playing in front of more fans, made the nightly news and early newspapers, they came around. They were also able to meet some of the opponents, their families and fans for food and drink after the game at a reasonable hour. I also received positive feedback from some of the opponents, or from some of my opponents. Those who didn't spend the night were able to arrive back home early at a reasonable hour. All of the above contributed to not only a large, more loyal following, but has carried over to this season. The added exposure has helped me recruit a large number of new players to my team. We have struggled for years to suit up more than 25 players and be able to compete with the larger market teams. In 9 years of owning and managing women's football team, moving our start time to 4 p.m. has contributed to the most significant strides my team has made in just about a decade. I am sure that there are a lot of other opinions out there, not saying that I have the answers, but just having experienced a very positive result in my market, seems like the NFL has taken advantage of the 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. start from the beginning. They're well aware of the concession/media advantages. Again, not sure why women's football has adopted 7 p.m. as a standard time. I read a lot of posts and compliments about paying to play, money, owners, rights, blah, 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 blah. But not many solutions. Maybe we should think more outside the box, and some solutions we're seeking might be a little simpler than what we think. I think this was a great post that Mary Lee had, Butler. I'm not quite sure what her team is. Let me see what her team is. I know I can find out real quick. So give me 1 second. Ah, she's from Erie, Pennsylvania. So she's probably playing on the Erie Illusion. There it is. She's the owner of the Erie Illusion. And again, this is what the Ning Board is all about, you guys. It's some positive feedback. It's some trials and errors. Again, different locations have different fan bases. Some works better at 7 p.m., you know, some is due to weather. I mean, I don't want to be in Pennsylvania in early April. It's still snow on the ground. And I definitely don't want to play at nighttime because I'm from the West Coast, because it's going to be even colder. So, again, it's home field advantages at times. I'm a firm believer that the home team should be able to dictate what time they are able to host the game because, again, we don't know, you know, what their situation is as far as what time they got to be on and off the field. My situation is, yeah, I can't start my games at 7 p.m. because we got to be off the field by 9 o'clock or lights will go off no matter what the score is. That's just in our contract. And again, a lot of schools dictate because we don't own these fields. But I'm also a believer of having earlier games due to the fact that you can bring younger kids out there. You can put more butts in the seats and eat more candy and concessions and sodas. Cause that's where you make your money anyway. You make 1,000% on the soda. I mean, you're buying it for 25 cents and you're selling it for $1.50. I've seen some places $2 for a can of soda. What else? You got less expenses as far as the lights are concerned because schools want to charge you an arm and a leg just to cut the lights on for 2 hours. Again, you can help your sponsors out by going to, having the game end at, say, 7:30. You know, even though people had a bunch of hot dogs and things at your place, if you got an eatery afterwards, you guys can all congregate over there and spend some of that money over there. So now your sponsor's happy that you're bringing, 100 to 200 people in for on a Saturday night that's normally not able to get, fans or people in. You know, find you a restaurant that gets that slow business and see what you can do with them, I think it's a lot of perks. Again, Mary Lee talked about the newspapers. During the spring, there's not much going on at, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Semi-pro stuff starts around 7, baseball starts in the evening time, stuff like that. But, yeah, you can get extra news coverage. I know that helps us out. Even though we start at 6, we get the news coverage to come out there at 6:30. They're there for 45 minutes, and they want me to call in, the final scores. But at least they got some B-roll film, any footage from the game itself, maybe 2 or 3 plays, and then the final score was, So, again, there is a lot of perks. And I'm not favoritism to the 7 p.m. start time because, again, now you're finishing up at 10 o'clock. You can't get it in. So I think women's football have to be able to put themselves in position to be able to get that press time, that media time. And if that means moving your games up, I think it's an excellent idea. For some teams, they don't think so because of the weather situation. Like, you don't want to start, for me in Vegas, at 4 o'clock, there's no difference between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock to me. Not even 7 o'clock. It's actually hotter at nighttime once the sun goes down because now all the heat is radiating off the concrete. At least when the sun's up, the heat is staying within the concrete here in Vegas. So, we have a dry heat, and we actually got in trouble last year because we had a team come out here and play us at 6 o'clock thinking that we wanted to play in the hot-ass sun. And we didn't know it was going to be 110 degrees. That was the first day it was hot. And we were dying just like they were doing. And then so they complained to the league about we starting the game at a certain time. Well, shoot, it was still 110 degrees an hour later. It's funny. But it's not to our advantage to do it. It's our contract for our school that we play in. And like I said, we do tend to get a lot more people at our games at a 6 o'clock start. We played at 7 o'clock before at other schools, and, it fluctuates. But here in Vegas, we have the hardest fans to probably persuade to come to a game because most of my town, most of my city works, Wednesday through Monday because those are the busiest days here in Vegas, and this is a service industry town. So a lot of the workers here in Vegas are working. So, again, to each market its own, you have different ideas, you have different concepts, but again, I think it should be, again, up to the home team, as long as it's within a reasonable hour to get things going. And again, I think the earlier the better. I don't even mind having a 1 o'clock kickoff time, Folks got their morning stuff taken care of. They're looking for something to do in the afternoon. You're done by 4 o'clock. You still can catch a movie. You can catch a good dinner. You can go out dancing. You can go out with family. Go to the mini putt, putt-putt. So, again, I think you just got to groom your market and understand where you live and where your fan base is. But, again, it goes back to your business plan. If you don't know who your fans are, then how can you target them, So, again, like I said, there's some great things that are real cool about the early start. And I don't see any negatives. I think some of the negatives were some teams were well, we got to travel and we got to, well, if you came in on Friday and you played a 1 o'clock game, you still come in late Friday, get in the hotel room maybe, you know, 11 o'clock that evening, you know, sleep over, get up in the morning, have breakfast, go play the game, and then hit the road, you know. So, again, it's just about proper planning. You know, as a coaching staff, as an organization, you got to have proper planning. But, you know, hey, nobody's actually starting a game at no 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. I think the earliest a game would be is 1 o'clock. And like I said, the latest is 7. But the earlier, the better. You know, the beautiful sun's outside and stuff like that. Just to read a couple of comments real quick. We got Mark from the Slam. I would think the biggest reason for later games is it's easier for visiting teams to make it to one day trips and save on hotels by having later games. Let me see what they're talking about. Okay, so basically what they're saying is if you have a game at 7, you can leave 8 hours away. Say you leave at 8 in the morning and it takes you to 4 o'clock to get to where you got to get, 8-hour trip. You still got time to rest, legitimately, 3 hours for a kickoff, and then, you know, you're done by, again, 10, 11 o'clock, but now you're getting home at what time if you're turning around? That's my thing. I would rather leave at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and folks can sleep on the bus and then play the game and then be able to get back on the bus and get home at a reasonable time. That's just me. That's my preference. We got Bill. I also prefer earlier start times when possible, which works okay early season, but late in the season, it's too damn hot. That waiting for the sun to go down makes playing much, much, much bearable. And then you got Mindy White from the KC Tribe. We prefer early games. We use a 5 o'clock p.m. kickoff time for reasons that was mentioned earlier and above. They just said they can find teams. They found teams who can drive up and back in the same day, really like an early start so they can make it, you know, home at a decent hour. Again, I think we're all in the same boat, but again, it should be left up to the home team. And like I said, as long as it's not before 12 o'clock, I think 1 o'clock is very reasonable for even a 6-hour trip. You know, you just got to leave at what time? You just got to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, be there by 11. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to be up in 2 hours anyway. You're just getting up 2 hours earlier, you know. So, again, it takes some sacrifice, people. And again, whatever the home team feels is best for their crowd, again, that's the home field advantage, you know. Like I said, as long as it's after 1 o'clock, it should be fine. All righty. So if you want some more information and some more support, actually, I love what Food had to say. He said, as a fan, I like it that home teams choose their own start times. Out here, the bandits start at 1 p.m., while the Sirens and the Maniacs start at 6 and 7 respectively. It enables me to see the bandits, then make the drive in time to see either the Sirens or the Maniacs. So again, like I said, everybody has some good feedback. So go ahead and go over to the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com and check it out. It's actually one of the hottest topics on here. And, you know, like I said, that's what this board is all about. It's about opening up and asking the question. You know, like I said, there is no dumb question. The dumb question is the one you don't ask, you know, period. So I'm liking the start time change if all possible. And I think that all teams have pretty much, you know, even though the league says 7 p.m., but I think if you talk to each individual team that comes in and give you a reason to why you're starting at this time, I don't see it being a problem. All right. Boy, time is flying when you're having fun. It's already 25 after. Let me move on. BJ, I don't know if I have any callers online that want to talk, jump in. Just hit me on the Ning board real quick. Let me know. If not, we will move on to quarter number 2. Quarter number 2. Got a couple emails. And actually, I've had this question asked of me of other coaches, especially high school coaches, talking about what opportunities are there for coaches who coach women's football. And I've done some research, and I looked around and saw some things. And you know, I want to throw congratulations out to my boy, one of my favorite coaches, Mr. Anthony Bartley, for his promotion. He's going to be coaching arena ball this year, up in Reno. Forgot the name of the team, but they just put out a press release today, and he was able to make that announcement over on Ningbo. But it gives hope and opportunity to those who coach women's football. How I see it is football is football. I don't care what level of football you're teaching. I think the more fundamental level of coaching you have to coach, the better teacher you are. Not to say that you have, you know, the play calling skills and, you know, offensively and defensively, but to be able to teach someone or somebody how to play the game and fundamentally be correct and fundamentally improve, I think is a great coaching measurement. I love the fact that I coach women's football because it keeps me on my toes, because the players aren't afraid to ask the question of why. They're not asking the question of why because they don't believe you. They're asking the question of why because they want to know. And it keeps me on my toes because I need to have the answers so that they can better understand, you know, what this game is all about. Is there a future for coaches who coach women's football? Yeah, like I said, it's an opportunity to brush up your skills. I know there's a lot of coaches that are high school coaches that are getting into women's football because it occurs during a time period where they're not coaching and it's not violating any of their rules if they went and coached, you know, say youth football, youth spring football, because then people will be saying that, hey, you're using it as a recruiting tool. And in reality, they're using it as a teaching tool. But there's a lot more coaches that are now looking into women's football as a start into coaching. I had a couple of coaches, high school coaches, call me recently and was thinking about, you know, joining my staff. And I'm like, sure, you know, they just have to work around the times that we have. You know, it's just a matter of being able to put the time in. If somebody wants to make a living out of coaching, and you need a platform to start, I don't see why you wouldn't start with women's football. The good thing about it is you're teaching adults. So you're teaching adult football. The good thing about it is that you're teaching the game. And that's what other coaches from other coaching staff are looking for. Can you teach this concept? Can you teach this player how to become a better player? And I will say this to all coaches out there that's coaching women's football. I would have to say 100% yes, you're able to do that. If you're able to teach someone a three-point stance and who's never been in a three-point stance and they do a good job at learning that three-point stance, you're a football coach. You know, it's just what are you limiting yourself to do? Just like I asked Leigh, just said, you guys can play anything you want. You just stop limiting yourself. And as a coach, you got to stop limiting your opportunities and not say, well, I just coach women's football. I coach football, period. You don't have to put a label on it. When you see my resume, it states that I'm a football coach. I coach, you know, from Pop Warner football to high school football to college football to semi-pro football. It's football. Women's football is semi-pro. The difference is, the name of the team is the Las Vegas Showgirls. Are you a proven winner? You know, that's another thing that, you know, when looking for a job and using women's football as a tool. I know I just sent in an interview last week for a head coaching job here in Vegas, and the panel was amazed at things that I've done, you know. And I bring video. I bring proof. That's why I'm always one to say you need to do a highlight tape. You know, if you don't do highlights, then nobody would know. I brought a highlight tape in, and the panel watched that. And they said, where did they learn how to play football? Where did they learn how to run that offense? Where did they learn how to run that defense? They learned it under me and my coaching staff. What kind of experience did the players have prior to that? And I would say none. You know, this is for the fans out there. This is for the coaches, and this is for the ladies that play football. You know, if I can teach a grown woman to play tackle football to the point where you can't tell if that's a grown woman or if that's a good high school team, I've done my job. I can coach anybody, you know? And that's what the panel was saying. Now, will I get the job? Hell, I don't know. I was told to apply for it. I applied for it, and I put my resume in, and, hey, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't, you know? But to see the expressions on the people's faces, they didn't know that women played football. And to see the level of football that they were playing. You know, if I was sitting on that panel and I saw what I saw, I would immediately hire that coach just due to the fact that they're a true teacher of the game. And that's what the high school level needs, the true teachers of the game. You know, and vice versa. There's some high school coaches out here who are now retired who are coming back. They want to coach and they're coaching women's football. And I bet you 100% of them feel that they feel like they're starting from scratch, starting from a freshman team. And about time the season comes, you'll be a varsity team. You'll be a varsity level team if the players put in the time and effort. You got to realize that, players. If you don't put the time and effort in, you're not going to get better, nor is your coach going to be a better coach or be considered a better coach because the end result is a product. If the product is terrible, then the coach is terrible. But it's some factors that make that coach terrible by you not coming to practice. So, you know, like I said, I'm a Facebook fanatic. I'm a social networking fanatic. And I love seeing some of the ladies that play football because one of my Facebook pages is, you know, strictly football show girls or whatever, whatever. And I got lots and lots of you friends out there. And I get excited when I see women on Facebook saying, "Woo, Coach such and such was no joke. He whooped our butts at practice. I'm sore, but boy, do it feel good." You know, I get the biggest smile when I see that. You know, as an ex-football player, I know what you feel. I know what you're talking about. That's why I'm old but don't want to get there. I don't want to feel sore no more. Been there, done that. I'm over that, you know. But it happens. It happens. But there is opportunities out there. I wish that more female ex-players got more involved in coaching. Be it coaching other women teams, be it coaching high school teams, junior high, elementary, flag football, starting up a women girls league. Again, there's a concept and ideas out there, ladies, that, you know, it's going to take more than just a few of us who are really pushing the sport. It's going to take all of us. So you should take the opportunity once you learn the game. You know, there's an old African proverb out there, each one teach one. You know, it takes a village to raise one. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have to do. Again, that leads us into promoting and pushing, you know, women's football. But we got to get out there. We need some other grassroots folks out there. Oh, there we go. JK, OC, offensive coordinator at the middle school. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, folks, you got to go out there. It takes more than just the few guys out here that are coaching you, ladies. You guys got to take it to the next level. You know, do I want to see, you know, all women coaching? Nah, I really don't. I just want to see coaching, you know what I'm saying? Everybody coaching. So, again, there are opportunities here. And if you are a teacher, then learn the game, teach the game, pass the game on. That way we can get bigger, better, stronger, faster athletes wanting to play football. You ladies are trailblazers right now. Yes, it's been 10 years in the making, 11 and 12, you know, for some teams. But we hadn't even scratched the surface of where this game can go. We haven't scratched the surface of how many women really want to play the game. Believe it or not, I still to this day are still getting constant emails of individuals who are just starting to see the showgirl here in Vegas. Didn't even know that we've been around for 6 years. And yet, they're excited. They want to come out and try out. When are the next tryouts? Can I play next year? Can I play this year? It's ongoing, 24/7, 365 a year. You know, and the more ladies that are out there that are in the game outside of playing, and you know, that are coaching, that are in position of power, you know, I'll say the better. So, again, there are opportunities, and like I said, you know, as a football coach myself, I pick and choose what opportunities that I have afforded for me. Will I go to the college level and coach? Probably not, because I have no D1 college experience on the coaching level, even though I'm a recruiter. I've been a recruiter for universities and for scouting organizations, you know, hosting combines and camps. But I'm too old, you know, then I can't go be a grad assistant. I can't live off $1,200 a month. I just can't do it. You know, I got a family, two kids, you know, but would I go back into the high school ranks? Yeah, because I can make a living at it. I can teach and be a coach at the same time and make, you know, anywhere between, you know, minimum 45,000 in some schools out there, coaches only, make up to $100,000 coaching just football. You know, if an opportunity came, yes, I would jump on it. But there are opportunities out there. If you got to get, you got to get started somewhere. You know, you got to get started somewhere. So why not start at the very bottom? You know, the grassroots of women's football. So I am done with that. Like I said, there are coaching opportunities out there. And like I said, I don't care where they at. It be it Pop Warner, middle school, high school, junior college, college. You know, be it D1, D2, D3. You know, NAIA. You know, it doesn't matter. There's opportunities out there. Will there ever be a coach that started their tenure as a women's football coach, make it to the NFL? Hey, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Just a matter of time, folks. A matter of time. Speaking of time, oh my, we got to move on because this show is rocking and rolling. Again, I'm over at the Ning board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com. I see a few folks in the chat room. We got BJ, of course. We got myself. We got Don. We got Jennifer. We got Jennifer King. We got Lauren. We got Vonda, you know, from the New England Nightmare. So, again, we are having fun over the Ning board. Let me see if anything's in here. Scorpions changed their time to 5 p.m. this year. What else we got? Coach know where I'm coming from. And he has two women coaches on his staff, both ex-players in women's football. And that's great. And then you got JK, who's an offensive coordinator at the middle school. So, again, you know, hey, I'm on topic. You know what I'm saying? I'm moving right along. So let's go ahead and go quarter number three. Another very interesting topic about new teams not getting the chance to play. And that's kind of a sticky subject, you know, because I'm in agreement and I'm not in agreement of that particular topic. Let me see who started that topic up. I think it was Coach Lumley with the Portland Phillies. And let me see what he said. New teams not getting a chance. I think it's really pathetic that some teams that wanted to play this year can't because they were sabotaged by some teams of a league that is grasping for teams. Okay, I'll throw that out of there. That's not where I'm going with this. If your team is good, you won't need to steal. Okay, we won't worry about that. I'm not going to get into that topic of teams not getting a chance. I think he's talking about teams sabotaging each other's teams. I was looking at it more like new teams not getting an opportunity to play this year because, one, they don't have the numbers. Two, they don't have the backing. And three, they didn't give themselves enough time to put this all together. I think in the heat of things, some people really get pumped up in thinking that they can start a team just because they saw another team and they think they can do it. And they don't realize how much time and effort and money. Did I mention the word money? Let me say that again, money it costs to run a team. I know I did this in a prior show, but like I said, I'm going over my budget right now, and this is probably one of the lowest budgets that I've had in years, and we're talking about $46,000 this year is what we're budgeting for this year. In the past, it's been between $75,000 to $100,000 per year, but being that we have more teams in the WFA, we're able to lower our travel cost. We could have lowered it a lot more. But again, we had some teams that did not make it this year, and that's why I'm talking about new teams not getting a chance to play. Over the 6 years that I've been around women's football, let me make sure I'm hitting the topic here because I had to went down. Yeah, they're talking about something else. I'm going to talk about what I was talking about. Over the last 6 years that I've been around women's football, actually 7 years that I've been around women's football, 6 years actually running and operating my team, I've seen teams just pop out of nowhere, and I've seen leagues just get so happy. Ooh, That's a team. You know, it's just a name. But they came to the table with no players, no concept, no coaches, just, you know, an owner or two owners or ownership group of five that figured that they can start their own team. And they'll wind up paying their fees or not paying their fees and get on the schedule. And then as you get closer and closer to the season, then all of a sudden they drop out. And it's too late to rearrange their schedule. And now you got forfeits. Now you're losing out on, you know, a home game, a travel game. Of course, you're not upset about, you know, losing the cost of traveling. But again, most of us make our money in this game by hosting home games. The more home games, the more money you can possibly earn, because that's your chance to earn money. So I see it this way. And again, I can say it because I've seen it done always, all the ways that it can possibly be done. But I think if a team is going to be starting, I think they should give themselves at least a two-year window before they play their first game. What I'm saying, a two-year window, is miss one whole season. Start before season starts and then come home year. You know what I'm saying? Come that following year. Because that gives you time to, one, gives you time to get your monies together. It gives you time to actually go to other games and take your players that you do have, that you have recruited, to the games this week, so they can go out and go back and recruit more players. It gives you time to put together a true budget. It gives you time to research the other ownership groups about what's going down, what's going on. Because the reality is, you know, a lot of teams realize, well, they hope that they can get $1,000 per player. Ooh, we get 50 players, we get $1,000, and there's our budget. And then they're still asking the players for more money. And these women, you know, the players are tapped. It ain't got to be about women. This is about just football players, period. You know, I might have some players that can't make it this year because they can't fulfill the requirements that I'm asking of them. You know, and my requirements is $250 to play and $250 to fundraise each. I don't care how you do it. You can write a check for $500 to play, or you can write a check for $250 and play and fundraise the other $250, or you can fundraise the whole $500. I don't care how it comes. But, it, you know, a lot of the ownerships don't understand. So when the topic came about, I'm looking at it this way, as a team that's established, and I'm also a team that started in February and had a team up and ready to go by July. So within a 4 or 5 month period, I was able to start a team from scratch, have 60 suit up for the season, and be able to make every game, and actually went an extra game because another team folded. Now that goes back into the organization of the league, you know, having some kind of check and balance system. You know, if a new team comes to the league and they're stinking new, they need to come to the table with a credit line, with, you know, with a minimum of 25 to 30 players signed. You know, I don't care if you went out and, I mean, I'm talking about visual. I ain't talking about somebody going out to Walmart and getting a petition and have people sign it. You know, talking about you a team. I'm talking about a visual, actual practice, actually workouts, you know, on film, showing that these are my players. Must have a budget already in place and ready to go. Not a dream of a name. And like I said, I can't knock people because I came up with a name and said, I'm starting a team. But see, I also have backing. I also had the funds. You know, the funds would put me over. I said, look, I'll put up 10 grand. I'll put up whatever. But we're going to have a team. And if we don't have a team, then that money's lost. And that gets divided amongst all the teams that we're supposed to play, the four teams, you know, at $2,500 each. Now we're talking. If somebody come up and put 10 grand up, and we're going to get $2,500 if you forfeit, hey, that's about what I'm going to make at the gate anyway. So, sure, put them on a schedule. But I think the league's got to do more due diligence. And I know that there were two teams here on the West Coast that just didn't come through. You know, the Seattle Warbirds didn't come through. And what was the other team? Shit, I can't even think of the other team just that quick. Was it the Scorn? No, it's not the Scorn. Oh, man, I can't think. Help me out, BJ. How come I can't think? The Taboo. There we go. Thank you. Whew. Thank you so much. That's why I love you, BJ. you know, so what wind up happening, we get our schedules in November, which is great because now we get to plan and do some other stuff. Here we are putting out our, we was just about to run our posters. We just took our pictures for our, you know, our posters and our wrap around our, you know, our team truck and some other stuff. And then all of a sudden we get an email saying that, you know, these teams drop. Folks, we are 48 days away from first game, and all of a sudden we got two teams that drop. So yes, I'm pissed. Were they on my schedule? No. But guess what? It affected my schedule. And so that's what I'm saying. There needs to be a protocol, some kind of something that's going to guarantee that these teams are going to be. It should be a minimum 18 months before a team is placed on any schedule, especially now that we can play outside teams. If you want to be a team, don't screw up my schedule. Be an independent team. Play a couple of games so we know that you're real. You know, and now that can exist because we don't have those barriers anymore. I think all three leagues have opened up the doors to have teams play whom and whoever they want, which is great. And like I said, that gives an opportunity for you to be an independent team for 18 months so that a league does not have to put you on schedule. You know, I can see the league putting you on the league website. Hey, they'll be in the league in 2012. You know, sign a contract for that, some kind of obligation for that. But 2011, you're on your own. You know, prove yourself, and then we would take off this situation. I know in the past leagues have gone with expedition teams to see if you can make it. Now, I was an expedition team my first year and played more teams than the regular team did. Because we wanted to play. I didn't want the expedition tag on me because we couldn't go to the playoffs. That made no sense, even though we didn't win enough games to make the playoffs. But I don't want to go into a season and not be able to play. That would be like the Bandits. They came back and wind up being a playoff team. If they had that tag on them, why are you even playing? You know, that's what I would say. But, again, I think you should be able to prove yourself. You must prove yourself. 18 months into it. But see, leagues are so greedy right now. I ain't going to say greedy. So needy right now of wanting to boast and brag about all the teams that are in or out. You know, and like I said, I think the leagues get into a jam when they do that and don't do their research and homework on what these teams have resource-wise. I'm not even talking about player-wise. I'm talking about resources. You know, you have teams that had to forfeit in the playoffs because they had no resources. You got to come to the table with a game plan. You got to come with a business plan. You got to come with some ducats, some greenbacks, some money, some moolah. You know what I'm saying? If not, then you're on your own, bro. You're on your own, homegirl, whatever you want to call it. But the fact is, you got to have it. So, again, I'm one who's against new teams coming in that started from scratch. I think now the opportunity is here that you can play, you know, a four-game, three-game schedule based on whatever budget you got, even if you don't even play any home games. You know, take your show on the road. Sometimes it's cheaper to go on the road than it is to play a home game because in most cases, you just got to worry about transportation. Transportation means you got some carpool, you know, get five minivans, get three 12-passenger vans, or you rent out a bus, you know. So, again, I think it should be a test period. So that's my thought on, you know, new teams not getting a chance. I think the chance is that you should wait till the official schedule come out and schedule teams during their bye weeks because every team got a minimum of two byes, some got three. You know, get in early and play a couple of teams during the preseason when they're new and rusty just like you are and play them in a real game, you know, expedition games or preseason games, you know, and get it in. You know, if that's one home game and two travel games, whatever. But at least you'll get that experience. And I think that will play off into getting better exposure. It'll get better news coverage. It'll get more girls to play, a possible fan base, you know. Or even if you don't have a team, invite two teams to come do a preseason game in your city. So, for instance, if, let's see, I'm going to use myself. If it was us against Arizona, a Phoenix team, and we wanted to start a team in, say, northern Arizona, you know, we should, you know, that team should pay for our two teams to come in and play an exhibition game, you know, at a high school. They can promote it, da-da-da-da-da. And now you got real teams playing a good level of football, and now you get to recruit because now you're going to have all the women that's going to come and see the game. So, again, that's another idea, another concept. Again, like I said, these things will be coming off the top of my head. You know, I don't write this stuff down. It just comes off the top of my head. That's why I do this show, because you're rocking Four Corners with Coach Lee each and every Monday night here on Blog Talk Radio. Continue, that is. Like I said, you can reach me here on the Women's Tackle Football Group .ning.com board. You can hit me at Las Vegas Show Girls with a Z at yahoo.com. You can hit me at Women's Tackle, Women's Football Camp at yahoo.com. You can hit me on Facebook. You can hit me on the hip at 702-764-8878. You can hit me here on the show live at 347-826-7278. All you got to do is hit the pound, one and pound button, and you in with Coach Lee. Before I move on, again, wondering if there's any calls. If there's any call, we can jump in right now for the last couple of minutes of the show. If not, hey, we'll move on. Quarter number four. Yes, yes, y'all. We had Super Bowl weekend, y'all, in the Green Machine. The Green Machine. Still Green Bay Packers ticket. I thought it was a great game. Neither of the two teams were I was super fans of anymore. I used to be a Green Bay Packer fan back in the mid-90s until they took the Super Bowl. And just for y'all that don't know me, I am a bandwagoner. But guess what? I'm a backwards bandwagoner. I always root for the sorriest team until they win. So I'll give you a couple examples of teams that were sorry and wound up being winners. Green Bay Packers in the 90s. The Denver Broncos. I was a fan of the Denver Broncos. I was a fan of the Saints. I was a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Prior to them being Super Bowl champs. And once they won the Super Bowl champs, I went with them for one more year just so I can say back to back. After that, I found another sorry team. I was even a Rams fan. I've always been a Rams fan when they were L.A. Rams with Eric Dickerson and Vince Ferragamo, Wendell Tyler, and I can name all of them, just to let you know. And when they had the greatest show on turf, I was a Rams fan. So, again, I'm not a bandwagoner who just want to jump on the bandwagon because teams are winning. I jump on the bandwagon prior to their winning because I like to root for the underdog. I've always been an underdog. And then once the underdog has proven their point, I'll move on to another underdog. But it was a great game. What was it? Super Bowl record, the most ever attended, the most ever viewed on TV. It's the highest ever viewed television show in American history. It was a great game. Wasn't as close as the score was. You know, it was 21-0 at one point in time, but Pittsburgh made a great effort in coming back. It made it exciting after halftime. I thought the halftime show was sucky-sucky. I thought the national anthem was sucky-sucky. Again, you got all this money into it, and you got these non-performing people, you know. I got it. So you must be rooting for the Scorpions this year. No. I'm rooting for the Showgirls. We're the biggest underdog there is. Like I said, I got a fresh new group, so I got to root for my team this year, Coach. I'm sorry about that, but I'm rooting for my team. For those who don't know, who ain't on the meeting board, I had Coach from the SoCal Scorpions say that I'm rooting for them. So it's all good. But, yeah, the Super Bowl was great. I know as a team we celebrated together and made a fundraiser out of it. We made a couple hundred dollars by hosting a non-alcohol family environment Super Bowl party. I brought my projector. We were here at my rec center. We rented out the room. I had a 12 by 12 foot television screen inside the room, which took up the whole wall, which was awesome. We had TVs blasting. We had a free pool, quarter pool.
My daughter won the first quarter. I won the second quarter. And then two other folks won. They thought it was rigged. I'm like, how could it be rigged when we all did it at the same time? I'm just good like that. We did football trivia at halftime. We split up a couple of groups. And we had fans here. We had players here. We had sponsors here. We gave away free T-shirts, hats, 100-ounce Showgirl mugs, and just had a ball out of the thing. This was our first annual or our first attempt at a Super Bowl party. We know that next year we're going to do it again. We charge $10 to get in. $10 got you all the hot dogs and chips you can eat, popcorn, nachos, and soda that you can eat within the Super Bowl time until we ran out. Like I said, we didn't decorate the room like we wanted to, but next year we're going to put full force effort into it. And like I said, we made a couple of $100 off of that. Think about it. We had each person sell 4 tickets minimum, 40 people. So you're talking about 160 tickets, 4 times 40. So you made $1,600. We spent about $300 on the room and food. So that's a $1,200 fundraiser. And we all just had fun. So, again, ideas, folks, ideas, building around other football things. So the Super Bowl was great. I think it's a good builder for your team. It's a little late for you to use it as a recruiting tool. But, think about it. You can do the national championship game that way. You can do bowl games that way, bowl game weekend, where there's a bunch of bowl games on, and you can be at, bringing many TVs as you can and host things that's football related, which was great in December. New Year's, is another thing. So, again, ideas, ladies and gentlemen, are out there. I must say that time is rocking and rolling and that it is almost time for us to get done with this show. I'm not sure if anybody wants to jump on board, but give me 1 second. Sorry about that. I had to make my announcement. I didn't realize it was 3:58. But that's what you get when you hear live with Coach Lee.
So, do what we do. Promote this game. Put in 100% effort. I don't have to win. Nobody can get one. Let's deal with the gap. That's 100%.
Go above the call of duty. But like I said, I'm here each and every week. I will see you guys next week. And like I said, don't be afraid to call in. Don't be afraid to put one in town. My show is your show. Your show is our show. And we can get this done. All right? So with that, I am out of here. Love y'all. And I will see y'all next week. Hopefully it's a live show. We all see what's going on. I think I need to control. So I will see you guys next week. I am out. Peace. Never